chapter 22, 2 Kings chapter 22. Appreciate each of you that came back tonight. If you're new here tonight, we're glad to have you also. And what we've been doing this week is we're looking at young people in the Bible that serve the Lord. And we've looked at three different young people so far. Monday night, we looked at the little boy who shared his lunch. In John chapter 6, we studied about how Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember, that was 5,000 men. Didn't include women and children. So he could have took those five barley loaves and two small fish and fed 15,000 people. We just don't know. It just recorded how many men. Often who gets left out of that little story is that little boy who shared it. I mean, there was a young man there that was real willing to just, and the idea of a young lad is just a young boy. And he shared his lunch and the Lord took and done great things with it. That was Monday. Tuesday, we look at the little maid. This is a young girl who gave good news to her master. And of course, this young maid was an Israelite and she told Naaman, who was the general of the Syrian army, she told him where to go, where he could meet a prophet, Elisha, which could make him whole. And of course, what ended up happening? He went to Israel. Elisha told him to go dip seven times in the Jordan, and he was made just completely whole of his leprosy. But you know how he knew to go there, right? That little girl told him. That little girl told him. And number three, yesterday, the one probably everybody knows, and that we looked at the shepherd boy who faced the giant. The shepherd boy who faced the giant. Goliath was 9 foot, 9 inches tall, approximate weight, 700 pounds. He was a man, but he was failed by a shepherd boy by the name of David. And what we did is we gave last night 7 keys to facing your giant. 7 keys. That was the message last night. Now tonight, we're going to move on and get our fourth young person that served the Lord. And we know exactly this one's age. And he's seen in the book of 2 Kings chapter 22. And let's all stand and show respect. And I'm going to read you a lot. Just stand and show respect. I like for folks to do that. Makes me feel good. 2 Kings chapter 22 verse 1 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So we know exactly how old he was. 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah and the daughter of Adaiah of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of David his father. And he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this privilege. We're thankful for these folks that's come and sat in the Bible class. And Lord, we pray that you'd use this message to touch someone's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now we'll give you a little bit of factual data here about Josiah. We're going to tell you a little bit about him. He was a good king. He was a good king. And he began to reign at 8 years old. Can you imagine having a king that was 8 years old? And that's how old he was when he took over. And he reigned 31 years in Judah. Now, what you need to remember, if you'll go back in their history, the first king of Israel was King Saul. And he reigned 40 years. And after King Saul, we talked about him last night, who was king whenever David fought Goliath. After King Saul came King David. King David's one of the most famous kings, obviously. He reigned 40 years. And then after King David came King Solomon. And he reigned 40 years. So all three of them. It's easy to remember the first three kings of Israel. Now what happened after King Solomon, he had a son by the name of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, during his reign, the nation split. And does anybody know why the nation split under Rehoboam? I'm just interested. What was the cause? Huh? Taxes. That's exactly what was the cause. Solomon taxed the people hard. And what the people came to him and wanted to know, was he going to tax like his dad did? And he brought in the old men, and they told him to lighten the burden a bit, and the people would be loyal to him. And then he brought in his young advisors, And his young advisor said, "Hey, you need to establish yourself as king, and you tell him that hard as it was on Dad, it's going to be even harder. You're going to tax him even more when you get in there. Establish your rule." Well, guess who he listened to? He listened to the younger, more inexperienced advisors. And what happened is when they raised taxes more, the people, the northern 10 tribes revolted. And after Solomon, then you have two different kingdoms. And you'll notice when I talked about Josiah, I said he was a king of Judah. Now, you had Judah and Benjamin. They made up the southern kingdom. Then the 10 other tribes made up the northern kingdom. So when you go in the book of Kings, you'll read about a king in the northern part, and then you'll read about a king in the southern part. In the book of Chronicles, it just deals with the kings in the southern part. Now, the true kings was in the southern part. They were the kings that came all the way down. If you go down to Matthew chapter 1, it gives a chronology, and it goes all the way back. It follows the line of what king? Does anybody know? Follows the line of King David. Remember, the Messiah would be a descendant of David. So it gives you that chronology in chapter 1 of Matthew and shows you that Jesus was indeed a descendant of King David. So Josiah was in this southern kingdom. And he was king in the, he was a descendant of King David. Now let me turn you to 1 Kings, and I want you to look at chapter 12. I want to show you a little something here. I had forgot to give this to the teachers, but there's a prophecy about Josiah, which is who we're going to look at tonight, that I think is interesting for you to know. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, whenever the nation split, and you know, Rehoboam was the king, was Solomon's son, and he was the king in the southern kingdom. Then you had a man by the name of Jeroboam, and he became the king in the northern 10 tribes. And then when you often see him listed in Scripture, he's called Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which caused Israel to sin. So what he does here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 12 is he didn't want the people going back. See, the temple was located, the tabernacle, the place of worship, the temple was located in Jerusalem. And he didn't want them going back to Jerusalem. Remember, they had three feasts, and one in the spring, one in the summer, one in the fall. That required every Jew to make a pilgrimage to where? Jerusalem. He didn't want them to go back to Jerusalem. He didn't want them to go to the temple. That's where the true priesthood was at. That's where the house of God was at. That's where true worship was at. So you know what he did? He set up a whole system of false worship in the northern 10 tribes. And what he does, if you'll look, as in 1 Kings chapter 12, notice what it says. In verse 27, "If the people go to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel, and he made two calves of gold. Do y'all remember golden calf? You know whose god that was? That's an Egyptian god. Remember when Moses brought him up out of the land of Egypt? Remember he went up on Mount Sinai? And what did the people make? They made a golden calf. So they began to offer sacrifices to it and so on. So here you see him going back and getting one of them old pagan gods and setting it up. He's made two calves of gold, and he said, "If it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem, behold your gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and he set the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. So, you see, when they split, Jeroboam set up a whole system of false worship. Was that okay? No, it was false. The place to worship was in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was at. That's where the people of God was at. This was all idol worship. And that's why when you see him listed after this, he's called Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that caused Israel to sin. That's what he did. And the northern ten never had a good king. The northern 10 tribes never had a good king. Southern tribes had several good kings, but not all good kings, but at least they did have some. Now, turn over to, I'm just introducing everything still yet and giving you a little factual data about Josiah. You need to know these things. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, what's interesting is Josiah is going to be mentioned here in chapter 13. And this is 300 years before he's born. That's what I want you to know. And it's going to mention him by name. Okay? Verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God. This is 1 Kings 13, 1. A man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense to this false god. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. Is that who we're looking at tonight? He ain't going to be born. It'd be 300 years after this that he's born. So I just want you to notice he's prophesied in Scripture. And notice what it says he will do. And Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. So Josiah would bring judgment on this false place of worship. And we're going to see that. Now let's move now to 2 Kings chapter 23, and I'll show you the fulfillment of that. 2 Kings chapter 23. This is 300 years later. The Bible makes one of the evidences that the Bible is true is it contains over 4,000 fulfilled prophecies. That's where they make a prediction that something's going to happen, and it comes to pass. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazingly accurate. Everything the Bible says is going to happen has happened. There's only one thing that hadn't happened yet. Do you know what it is? King ain't come yet. That's the next. We're waiting on the second coming. But prophecy after prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled. And this prophecy concerning Josiah has already been fulfilled too. Chapter 23, notice what it says. Verse 15, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he break down. And he burned the high place, and he stamped it into small powder, and he burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mount, and he set and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That was 300 years earlier. Isn't that cool? So this is who we're looking at tonight, and that's a little factual data on him. Began to reign at eight years old. That's why we list him as one of the young men that were faithful and served the Lord, reigned 31 years, and was prophesied in Scripture. Now let's notice what it says about him. Let's skip back over to chapter 22. Let's notice what it says about him in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adiah of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, don't y'all think that's a good testimony? We looked at the prophecy about him, but here's what the Bible says about him, is he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says he never turned to the right hand, nor did he turn to the left. Sometimes we'll say that even that, you know, he's straight as an arrow. He's right down the middle. And that's what they're saying. He was a godly young man, and he lived his whole life that way. Really, there's not nothing negative said about him. He had a good what? He had a good name. He had a good report. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, that same thing should be said of you. That exact same thing should be said of you. You should do what is right In the sight of who? In the sight of the Lord. There's some folks that try to do what's right in the sight of man, and certainly you need to have a good testimony before men. But you need to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, where does the Lord see at? He sees the heart, and He sees you not only in public, but He also sees you in secret, and He even knows how you think. Isn't that something? So He sought to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. If you can't find things in your Bible, don't try, because this is just a quick little verse I'm going to read to you. Romans chapter 3. In order to do that which is right in God's sight, do you know the first thing you have to do? Does anybody know? In order to do things right in God's sight, do you know the first thing that has to be done? You have to be saved. That's the first thing. Now, a lost person can do good things in our sight, can't they? But you remember, God looks on the heart. And here's what God does in the book of Romans chapter 3. He opens up, He rolls back the curtain, so to speak, and lets you see what He sees when He looks at a person. This is how I looked before I saved. If you're here tonight and saved, this is how you looked to God before you were saved. And if you've never been saved, this is how God sees you. Are you ready? Romans chapter 3, notice what it says. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Now this is apart from Christ. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They're all going out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth what? There's none that doeth good. No, not one. So I tell you what, that's a frightening look, is it not? So before you can do that which is right in God's sight, you first have to be cleansed from your sin. You first have to be washed from your sin. You have to have your sin debt paid. And then after your sin debt is paid and your sins are washed away, then you can serve Him. Then you can live right in God's sight. That's what Josiah did. But you can't do that in His sight until you first get saved. That's the most important thing in the world, is to do that first. In the book of 2 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to cut off some verses. Let's go ahead and go to Romans 10. Let's go to Romans 10. I'll stick around here close by Romans. I can find them faster here and show you better here, I think. So the testimony of Josiah was he did what was right in whose sight? God's sight. And in order to do that, what's the first thing that has to happen again? You got to be saved. You got to be washed. You got to be cleansed. And how's that happen? It happens by trusting Jesus. And if you trust Jesus, you trust that He died on Calvary for you. You realize that you need a Savior. And then you call and you trust Him as your Savior. He cleanses you. He washes you from your sin. And then you can serve Him. We've had a really good week in Bible school. We had in our teenage boy class, Brother Tim's class, we had one of those teenage boys make a profession of faith in Jesus this week. It was awesome. Yeah, he's walking with Brother Tim, Tim said, well, do you want to be saved? He said, I do. I just don't know how. And he got to explain. Isn't that awesome? So what happened when he did that? The Lord washed him, cleansed him of his sin, paid his sin debt. Now, notice what it says in Romans chapter 10. Notice what it says in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Most important thing in the world is to be saved. Do you agree? There's nothing any more important than that. After this life is an eternity. We don't know when this life's going to end. Every one of us here tonight have a time. Now, if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, we're going to have a day. We're going to have a time, aren't we? Most important thing in the world is to be ready for that. Because it could happen today. It could happen today. So you need to be right in God's sight. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He's talking about his people. He's talking about his people, Israel. And he said they have a religious zeal, but it wasn't according to true knowledge. Notice verse 3. I want everybody to notice verse 3 and 4. I love it. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted. Have not done what? Haven't submitted to the righteousness, unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law to everyone. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So before you can do that which is right in God's sight, you got to be saved. You got to be washed. And what happens is when you trust Him, when you call upon Him and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I realize I'm lost and I want to trust You as my Savior. He takes your sin away. He pays for it. He washes you clean from it. As far as His law is concerned that you broke, your curse is paid. Your sin debt is paid. He pays it. And then He gives you His righteousness. Jesus is 100% righteous. And it takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. The only way you can get that is by trusting Jesus. Now that you have had your sins washed, you have His righteousness charged to you, now you can live for Him. Now you can live for Him. And seek to do that which is right in His sight and serve Him with your life, all the days of your life. So now let's go back to our text. So Josiah's testimony was that he'd done right in God's sight, which is an excellent testimony, isn't it? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 22. Now, it's interesting when you look at Josiah that he ended up being such a good boy, because his dad was horrible. Not only was his dad horrible, but his granddad was even worse. You'd think maybe he had a righteous granddad, but his granddad was Manasseh. How many of you ever heard of Manasseh? Raise your right hand, I just want to see. Very few. Well, that's cool. I'm glad I mentioned it. Manasseh was the worst king ever in Israel. So you need to read a little bit about him. He sinned so bad, he was so ungodly, that the wrath of God was going to drop down on Judah, and it was irreversible. They reached the point where God said, I'm not going to have mercy on you no more. I'm going to have it for a while because of Josiah, but because of Manasseh's sin, y'all's going to go into captivity over it. I mean, he brought judgment. So he had a horrible granddad, and he also had a horrible dad. So we want to look a little bit at that. Look at 2 Kings 21 and notice what it says, verse 16. It says, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay? Now, when you look on down in that same part, you look down to verse 19 and 20, it tells you about his dad and talking about Amnon. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So both his granddad and his dad were horrible men. They did that which was wrong in God's sight. But all of a sudden, here you have this 1 8-year-old boy. And he comes on the scene, and it all turns. How you reckon that? How you reckon that? Well, it's just God's grace, isn't it? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul asks the question, who made you to differ from another? What hast thou that thou hast not received? And if you have received it, why do you glory as if you have not received it? God made Josiah to differ. God bestowed upon him his precious grace. Turn to chapter 23 now. And notice what it says about Manasseh. This is his granddad. Verse 26, notwithstanding the Lord turned not away from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. So, you see, the judgment was what? Irreversible. Now, that should scare you a little bit. Because God will have mercy just so long on a nation. Did you hear what I just said? It'll just run so long. And then eventually he can say, he'll go, that's it. And then it gets irreversible, the judgment. And that's what happened to Judah. And that happened all the way back in Manasseh's day, his granddad. So Josiah had a good name. Are you still in chapter 23? Look at what it says about Josiah. Like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him. So did Josiah have a good name? Excellent name. Excellent testimony. Serve the Lord. What often people do, they'll blame their sins on their granddad or their dad, or they'll blame it all on somebody else. And sometimes parents are responsible for the thing. And they are responsible for things they do before their children. But you're accountable to God as an individual. Did you hear what I just said? You can't blame your sin on somebody else. That's one of the problems we have in America. Everybody wants to blame their sin on somebody else. You're accountable for your own self. There'll be the day that I stand before the Lord and I have to give it a reckoning for my life, but you'll have to give a reckoning for yours. Because I hear this all the time from people, lost people. They say, well, the churches are full of hypocrites. Well, I'll say, well, probably. There's hypocrites in churches. I'll have to admit that. That's everywhere. But I say, you know that hypocrite? He'll answer to God for his hypocrisy. But you want to know something else? You'll answer for yourself, too. If you stand before Almighty God and blame your sin on that hypocrite, that's not going to hold water. You're accountable for yourself. So here's a young man that, though he had a wicked granddad and though he had a wicked dad, he yet served the Lord. And the Lord turned things in Israel or in Judah for a while he is king. Isn't that an awesome testimony? He did that which was right in God's sight. Now I want you to know something. If you're saved, that's what you should do. You say, well, works don't save you. I realize works don't save you. That's why we needed a Savior. But when you're saved, you're God's child. And you want to do that which pleases your Father. So you want to do right. So that you can bring glory to the Lord. Matthew 5 says it best. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That's why you do them. You do them to bring glory to Him. So this young boy who was prophesied 300 years earlier that would bring judgment on those old places of false worship, he did that which was right in God's sight, and he had a good testimony. You want to notice some of the works that he did? I want to show you some of the things that he did. It's amazing what all he did. Now, let's go back to chapter 22 of 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22. I want to show you some of the things that he did. He did so much, I can't hardly list them all in one service. He did a lot. First thing he did is he repaired God's house. In chapter 22, if you'll look down in verse 4, it says, he's go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, and let them deliver into the hand of the doers of the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord and of the work and of the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, and to the carpenters and the builders and the masons to buy timber and hewn stone, etc. So the first thing he did is he repaired the temple. The temple had fell into disarray. Why would the temple fall into disarray? People wasn't worshiping there. They let it go. They were worshiping all these pagan gods. happened under Manasseh and his daddy Amnon. They brought in all these false gods, so people forsook the house of God. And then the house of God was run down and it was in disarray. So you know what this young man did first thing? He repaired God's house. He fixed it. Sit carpenters and things down there, and they cleaned it up. They got things set up again so they could have worship there again. He had a zeal for the house of God. In verse 8 through 11, he had the Word of God read to him. Now, while they was down there repairing the temple, guess what they found in God's house? Does anybody know? They found the Word of God there. They kept a copy of the law. They kept a copy of the law at the temple. And they found it. Oh, this is a good message. I've preached it in the past. It says in verse 8, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. You hear me say all the time from the pulpit, you should be able to find God's Word at God's house. That's where I get that from. They found God's Word there. So what he does is he has him come in before Josiah and he reads the law. That would be, I don't know if he read all five books of the Old Testament or just the book of Deuteronomy. But he reads all the law before the king. You know what he does? He rents his clothes. And he goes and asks them to intercede because he figures judgment is on them tremendously. Notice what it says in verse 13. Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled on us. Our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written therein. So judgment was coming. You read on down in the text, judgment was coming. But here's what he says about Josiah. Look down at verse 19. Here's what he says about Josiah. Because your heart was tender, and thou hast humbled yourself before the Lord, thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that there will come desolation and the cursed, and you've rent your clothes and wept before me. I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto your fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto the grave in peace. And you will not see all the evil which shall come upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So here's what the Lord said. Because Josiah was tender, had a tender heart. Had a tender heart about the things of God. And when he heard God's word read, and he looked around him, he seen how wicked that the nation had become. He said, go inquire the Lord for me. Went to the prophets. Go inquire the Lord for me. Because truly judgment comes on this place. He probably read in Deuteronomy there are all these curses that would come if they would break these certain laws that he gave them to obey. Well, God said, yeah, judgment's coming just like you read. But it's not going to happen during Josiah's reign. It's going to happen after that. And it did. You read the rest of the book of Kings, that's exactly what happened. Babylon came down from the north and destroyed Jerusalem. Destroyed the temple. Broke down their wall and carried them off into captivity. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what did happen. Remember Daniel? He's one of the ones that got carried off into captivity. They got carried off. Judgment did come, like he said. So, he had God's word read to him. In chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, he had God's word read publicly to all the people. He brought in all the people into Jerusalem. And he set them up and let them read God's word to them. You know what people need today? And you know what churches need today? We don't need nothing new. We need to get people to get the book out and preach it. That's what we need to get people to do. So people get bored with that. Well, that's all right. Because if you go to any other thing other than the book, then it's just worldly. God uses this book to save sinners. God uses this book to bring conviction in the heart of sinners. God uses this book to bring growth to the saint. And you push out the book? No way. That's what they did. Boy, when they got in a mess, and that's what they're doing. Hey, it's happening right here in our land. It's hard to go to a place anymore where you can find this book where it's the priority. It's pushing it completely out of the way. Bringing in other things. What's more important than God's Word? What's more important than hearing? This is whose Word? It's God's Word. So, let's go back to our text. I wish I hadn't shut my Bible up, but you know how carried away I get sometimes. I'm almost done. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. Do you notice all he did? Repaired God's house. Had God's Word read publicly. Had it read publicly. And had it read to him privately. Chapter 23 in verses 4. Chapter 4 and 6. It says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal." Have y'all heard of Baal worship? They had articles. They had articles for Baal worship in the temple of God. In other words, there was idols all over God's house. You know what? You want to know what Josiah did? He had them all tore out. He cleansed the temple. Cleaned it out. He was bringing about religious. You think he was popular with people? No, I doubt it. He made a stand for truth. So he got all those idols out of there. In chapter 23, notice what he did at verse 7. It says he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. So what these houses were, this is even a horrible thing to think about. These were houses that were by the temple that were houses of prostitution. And they used these to bring in money for their false gods. And they were right by the temple of God. You know what Josiah did? He tore them out. He got rid of that too. Chapter 23 and verse 10. Now here's another great thing he did. He defileth Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, and no man might cause his son or daughter to pass through fire to Moloch. Now here's another false. See all the false gods that came into Judah? We're not talking about the northern ten here now. We're talking about Judah. Moloch. All of these pagan gods and idol worshippers and all of this mess, all of this sin. It's horrible. How did they end up in such a shape? They pushed out God's Word. This is a standard, isn't it? If you don't have a standard to go by, you know what you got? Lawlessness. You got people doing what's right in their own eyes. This is a standard. This is the standard that you live by. It's the last thing I'm going to mention, then I'm going to stop. Moloch, he was a brass god. One of the worst gods of the Canaanites was the god Moloch. I want to tell you what they did. It says he's in the valley of Topheth. And if I remember right, that means a drum. What they'd do is they would heat his brass arms red hot. And they would take their babies and they would lay them on his hands and burn them up. And when you read in the Kings, when it says they caused their son to pass through the fire, that's what that's talking about. That means they offered their child up as a sacrifice to this pagan god. And they would beat drums while they'd do that. Why do you think they did that? So you wouldn't hear the baby screaming. That's what they did. That's what they were doing. You know what Josiah did? He destroyed that place. Now, you know what this place was called in the New Testament? It was Gehenna, the valley of... It was right outside Jerusalem. It was called the Valley of Ginnom or Gehenna. Jesus used it as an illustration of hell. When Josiah destroyed it, they turned it into a garbage dump and it burned constantly. See? But that was that place where Moloch was. Who destroyed him? Josiah did. I mean, you look at all the good, see all the good works he did? The text said he did what was right in God's sight. He had a lot of good works in his life. He served the Lord all the days of his life. Isn't that a tremendous thing? He served the Lord all the days of his life. And he had a lot of good works that he did for the Lord. Did those good works save him? No. But they were evidence of his salvation. When the Lord saves your soul, hear me. When the Lord saves your soul, He changes your life. You think we need some Josiahs today? We sure do. Willing to make a stand. Willing to make a stand. Men that love the Lord, men and women that love the Lord, and young men and women that love the Lord and are willing to serve Him. Let's all stand. It's